So Pastor Inami started this last week. If you weren't here, I would encourage you to go online. Excuse me. Would encourage you to go online and listen to the message. It's a really good one. What she spoke about specifically was the breath of God. And I don't want to go into too much detail this morning, but I want to recap some of it because I think it's quite important for the context of what I want to share with you today. So Inami started talking about the falls that she'd had. You know, she would fall at home in the bathroom or a fall at work or a fall at the shops. And she spoke about the impact that that had on her life. I think she actually said that there was a fall in 2014, I think it was, that was the one that had the biggest impact, which, to be honest, I found surprising because I was thinking, 2014, that was only like 9 years ago. I would have thought, and I think Pastor Stephen would agree, that the most impactful fall she would have had was the one when she fell for you. Yeah, sorry, I'm just currying favour with the boss. Yeah. Anyway, she's actually watching online, she told me, so it's my one and only lame joke for the sermon, I promise. But when she was, she'd been enduring this this thing for a while where she'd been falling for many years, started when she was in school. And she was saying to God, you know, I'm in pain, I'm tired. And his response was, yes, my body is in pain. My body is tired. He was talking about the church, of course. And she noted that we've all had falls, every one of us. Maybe not physical, but certainly emotional or spiritual. You know, unexpected events that leave you feeling powerless or scared or discouraged. And the question she posed to us was, what is your response when circumstances don't align with your faith? And precisely, how do you keep praising in those times? So the key scripture she referred to throughout the message was from Ezekiel 37, about the Valley of Dry Bones. I won't read the whole thing, but I do just want to read the first six verses here this morning. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, Son of man, can these bones become living people again? O sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. You know, we've just, albeit a bit late here in Perth, we've just sort of, I think, starting to experience spring, finally, after what felt like months and months of cold weather and rain. And this passage to me emphasizes the seasons that we all go through in life. These bones were dry. It says that very clearly. So this wasn't something that had just been going on for a week or two. They were dried out. The marrow was gone and they were scattered. And this, of course, was talking about Israel, which at the time was dispersed amongst its enemies. The people were dispirited and their dreams had been dead for a long time, dead for a season. Everyone that's been on this earth for even a reasonable amount of time has endured seasons like this, seasons where things were not going as you expected. None of us can escape it. It's part of life. You don't have to feel, well, you do feel bad when you go through them, but they happen to everyone. You shouldn't feel ashamed. But God saying he would bring the Israelites back into the promised land. Oh, excuse me. God saying he would bring the Israelites back into the promised land is also a sign of what he wants to do in our lives. He wants to bring us into a place where we are living as he intended. And as Inami said last week, the answer to coming out the other side of these extended periods lies in receiving the breath of God. But there was one other thing that stood out to me in this passage when she read it last week, and that was God didn't just breathe life into these bones. He didn't just take Ezekiel on this vision and say, now watch this. He made Ezekiel prophesy that would happen before he did it. And to me, that says the breath of God is something we need to seek, we need to pray for, just like Ezekiel did. Right? And what I said earlier, these tough seasons are unavoidable. There's no escaping them. But what I want to look at this morning is not the breath of life that God gives coming out of a season specifically, but I want to explore the concept of being refreshed by the breath of God every day. When Pastor Stephen first told me we're doing a series on fresh, and he asked me to partake in it, I must admit, the first thing I thought of was not seasons. It was actually personal hygiene. So that's as far as we're going with that. I just want you to know. We're not going to get funky. But, you know, we all want to look and feel fresh every day, don't we? Right? That's why we shower, we use deodorant, we shave, perfume, cologne, whatever. We all have rituals that we go through each day to make us look and feel fresh physically. And it's important, not just for us, obviously, but as you can probably imagine, it's important for those people around us. But what about spiritually? What are you doing daily to spiritually refresh yourself? Charlie said these words during the worship. It's what the Lord told us to pray. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. It doesn't say give us our weekly bread or our monthly bread. It says give us our daily bread. Lamentations says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. And there are lots of scriptures in the Bible that reiterate this fact that the mercies are new every morning, that we can start afresh with God every single day. Everyone knows about your quiet times. It's you know, it's sort of a standard thing in Christendom, isn't it? You have your quiet time in the morning, you pray, you read the word, you do that sort of thing. And I don't want to prescribe what you should be doing or how you should be going about this. That's between you and the Lord. You're a unique person, an unrepeatable miracle, in fact. And how you go about connecting with God is something that you need to work out on your own. There's no right or wrong way, as long as it's authentic. But what I'm asking this morning is not whether or not you're doing the things to get refreshed, because you probably already are. The thing is, are you actually being refreshed? Because as great as quiet times and Bible reading and prayer and all that is, let's be honest, even our things we do as Christians with the best intentions can become stale over time, and we're maybe not getting refreshed. So are there things that are blocking you from being refreshed? You know, are the distractions of life getting in the way? We've all got that. Do you think maybe it's just a bit too hard, or do you have guilt over something you've done in your past? Now, these are all part of the human condition, right? It's normal to get distracted. It's normal to feel guilt. It's normal to hold on to it even. But these things block intimacy with God. So what I'm not going to do is tell you how to, as I said, I'm not going to tell you how to seek refreshing, but what I want to look at this morning, firstly, are there things that are stopping you getting refreshed? Are there things that are stopping you getting the most out of your time with Jesus each day, and what can we do about that? So I'd like to suggest seven things. Now, this is by no means an exhaustive list, and they may not apply to everybody, but this is seven things that I've found help me with being refreshed. Number one, trusting Jesus, and specifically not worrying. At least for me, nothing will stifle intimacy with God faster than the worries of this world. And I'm not saying we don't have problems that we need to be mindful of, but choosing not to worry opens doors for God to work in your life. Probably some of my favorite scriptures are the ones around not worrying, where Jesus was saying, you know, look at the birds in the air and the lilies in the field. You know, look how God feeds them and looks after them. Look how he clothes the lilies and compared them to Solomon. He's telling us, don't worry about these things. The pagans went after them. And for me, this is one of those areas where we can really move beyond belief and into the realm of faith. Lots of people believe, but faith is what unlocks that ability to trust and not to worry. Think about when Jesus was on the boat with the disciples and they're crossing the sea and the waves came up, and the storm and the waves came up, and the disciples went and woke him up. What did he say to them? O ye of little faith. Now, they were absolutely believers. They were with him. They wouldn't have been with him otherwise. But it was their faith. He said that to them numerous times throughout the New Testament. O ye of little faith. It underscores the importance of moving from believing into active faith. So that's number one. Number two, forgive others quickly and frequently. How many times did you do it? Or how frequently? 70 times 7, remember? Jesus told us. And remember what we talked about just a few minutes ago from the Lord's Prayer. Remember, give us this day our daily bread as we forgive those. Forgiveness is essential. Forgiving others is essential. Number three, and this is one perhaps you overlook more than anything else, forgive yourself. You know, as it's said in Lamentations, you can begin each day with a new slate. There is mercy to help you overcome the poor choices of yesterday. And in Acts 3, verses 19 to 20, it says, now repent of your sins and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped away. Then the times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. Number four, encourage others. And I think here, I'm talking more about, you know, people in church. It's amazing how encouraging other people can benefit you. And that might sound a little bit selfish, but I'm not talking about just flattery or false praise, but genuine encouragement. You know, encourage people that are maybe going to Bible college or starting a connect group, or people that are taking steps in their faith. Encourage them. It's good for them. It's good for you. Share your faith. And I don't just mean evangelism, right? I'm not saying you got to go down on the street corner with a soapbox and evangelize. But we can do it every time we point somebody to the source of our hope. That is sharing our faith. I think it was in Acts. Where they said, you know, always be ready to explain the source of your hope. We've got to be able to share our faith with people. Number six, rest. This might seem like the more practical one, but this is so important. Go for a walk along the beach. You know, enjoy God's creation, soak it all in. You've got to rest. That's why we have a Sabbath. We have to rest. And finally, number seven, ask the Holy Spirit. The kind of refreshing I'm talking about is the very thing the Holy Spirit was sent for. In Romans 15, verse 13, it says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's right there in that verse, overflow. What better depiction of being constantly refreshed is there than overflowing with the Holy Spirit? As you continue to place your trust in God, he will continue to fill your hearts with joy, peace, and a hope that overflows. So now we reach the pivotal point. That's how we find refreshing every day. So we reach that point where we are refreshed. We feel you know you've changed, right? Something's different. You've tapped into that opportunity. But why? Where should that overflow go when it spills over from you? It's into the lives of people around you, isn't it? Have you asked yourself what your aroma is? I think everyone knows, everyone's caught public transport knows what it's like standing next to someone on a crowded train or a bus that doesn't share your views, shall we say, on hygiene. It's not pleasant, is it? When you have a bad aroma, people don't really want to be around you. And this, it's funny, this, I guess this analogy between a spiritual aroma and a physical aroma is quite an apt one. When, let's just say you haven't showered for a few days and you've been working hard and sweating, and people aren't going to want to be around you. They're going to keep their distance, right? The nice ones might come up and just politely say something to you. But generally, people are going to stay away. On the other hand, if you do take care of yourself and if you put on some cologne, and Charlie came up to me this morning and said hello, and one of the first things I asked him was, oh, what's that you're wearing? Because he smelled great. He couldn't tell me what it was, but it smelled great. You know, I was attracted to that smell. And that's a bit like what it is spiritually, right? Now, you not may not reek of sin, but the thing is that people will not come up to you if you just smell of nothing. If you don't smell good or smell bad, no one's going to come to you and go, oh, you smell of nothing. No one's going to say that to you, are they? They're going to come up when you smell nice. So you might not reek of sin, but if you don't have the aroma of Christ, that's, you're just not going to attract people with just your normal spiritual smell, right? So what aroma do you want to have each day? I know what I want. It's the aroma of Christ. Get the band up. All right. So you're being refreshed daily. What next? Pastor Anami noted last week that when we're in pain, we start looking inward. So when you're being refreshed and you're feeling that love of God flowing through you, ebbing out of you every day, what's next is a simple question. The answer is to look outward. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. Let me read this to you. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God amongst those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? Being refreshed by God gives you a hope. And the crazy thing about hope is that it's really contagious. And you know, the thing is that we can't really always see the impact of our hope, of our holiness, of our love. We can't see the impact that will have on other people. Even the Apostle Paul needed others to stoke his love for God. In Philemon 20, he wrote, yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord, refresh my heart in Christ. This was Paul saying that he needed Philemon to forgive the guy that had wronged him because it would help refresh Paul. And Paul knew that that refreshing, that would flow through to countless other people. Satan will tell you that the consequences of us being short with somebody or not showing them love are insignificant. He'll tell you, well, they'll get over it. You're more important. He wants you to think that no one else's life will be really impacted by your decisions. But that really is discounting the power of God. And the reality is you have no idea how much you can impact someone's life through the simplest of gestures. So in conclusion, and returning to Ezekiel, God said he would breathe life into the Israelites so that they would know he is the Lord. In other words, to bring glory to him. And our daily refreshing, the daily refreshing we should seek, must have the same intent. Not to benefit us exclusively, but to actually bring glory to Christ so that we can impact those around us. When we're refreshed every day with grace and mercy, we are evidence of God's love for us, and we can show that same grace and mercy to love for others. And that's our primary function, isn't it? We are Christ's ambassadors. Our primary function in this life is to point others towards Him. But how can you do that if you're not feeling refreshed yourself? This is not something that we should need to activate. It shouldn't be something we need to switch on. It should be just something that ebbs out of us constantly. It should be overflowing. And remember, you're the only Bible some people will ever read, which is why you need to be refreshed daily. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you sent Christ to die for us long before we were born. And that, as Naptula said earlier, because you know us better than we know ourselves, we have no reason not to trust you intimately, wholly, with our lives. But we know there's more for us. We know that most of us probably haven't even scratched the surface of what you have for us. We want to experience you more intimately, more deeply than ever before. And so, Father, we pray today that we will seek you, seek refreshing from you anew every day, and that we won't be satisfied until the Holy Spirit is flowing out of us, overflowing and touching all of those around us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to leave the altar open this morning for anybody that might want prayer. Otherwise, please stay. Say hello to someone you haven't met before. It's tea and coffee in the foyer. We'd love to get to know you better. Thank you.